today.
So we're on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom, back to regular regular programming, Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara says, Haisa gavoya me'esrim amu. So you have a case where the schach is higher than 20 amas. Uva, so it's no good, right? Mishnah said no good. Uva lema'ata l'karim v'ksasas. And he comes to lower it with pillows and blankets. So what does that mean? How do you lower schach with pillows and blankets? You pile them on top until it falls down. What do you mean lower it with pillows and blankets? So right away you get the sense that this whole Gemara, so to speak, is thinking outside the box. We're trying to lower something, not by lowering the schach, but by raising the floor. Outside the sukkah, the schach is still higher than 20 amos from the ground. But inside the sukkah, we've managed, or we're trying, to raise the floor, so the hollow, if you're inside that sukkah, the hollow of the sukkah, so the distance between the schach and the quote-unquote floor of that sukkah is less than 20 amos. So apparently, that's theoretically good. So what we care about is really the hollow of the sukkah. We don't really care that the schach is higher than 20. So according to all other reasons, that should be true, or that not necessarily true according to all of the reasons. What's the problem with schach being higher than 20 again? Who can tell me? What are the three reasons?
Your eyes
aren't going to see it. So you're inside the sukkah, right? So good. So your eyes will reach it. What else? Shade, coming from the walls and not from the schach. Well, you're higher up, so I guess you'll catch the shade now, right? Okay, so that sounds good. What about the last one?
Permanent structure.
Does that work?
It's not a would be a permanent structure. It was over 20 amas,
huh? So now the floor is higher? How does that help?
Oh, you're talking about with the floor.
Right, I'm saying, does that work? I thought, Mechitza Shel Barzel. Remember? Does that work?
Two of the problems.
Seems like according to two of them it's good, but what about the last one? So if you can figure out an answer, let me know. Gemara doesn't seem to be bothered by that, right? Gemara never mentions it. Gemara could have brought that as a kasha. I don't know. Okay, in any case, something to think about. Gemara doesn't say that's an issue. Gemara says, Loi have a mute. It's not considered a minimization. It's not considered a lowering of the schach. Why not? Then the Gemara says, v'afal gav. So I told this to some of the guys in Seder. What does it mean, v'afal gav? So whenever you hear somebody say, even though, especially in the Gemara, what's the goal of an even though? Any time a person says, and even though, a person says, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say this. Even though that's true, but. So that's what the Gemara does also. The Afal Gav, even though it should have worked. Why should it have worked? The Afal Gav de Batlinu Lekulahu. How do you translate Batlinu? What does Batel mean?
Nullify.
Even though you've nullified all of them. Mishum de Batla Daitoi Eitzel Kol Adam. Nullified is his brain vis-a-vis next to normal people. Kol Adam. All people. Okay, so what just happened in this Gemara? Gemara said that if you would go ahead and take pillows and blankets and line the floor with it to raise your floor in your sukkah, it's not good. Why is it not good? Well, it would have been good had he been successful in nullifying them. What do you mean nullify? How do you nullify pillows and blankets? Meaning he makes it into the floor. He says, this is dirt. I'm not interested in these things anymore. It's garbage. Garbage. So if he can really view the pillows and blankets as nullified to the dirt, as he really views them as dirt, apparently that would work to raise the floor. The problem is, that ain't normal. It's just not normal. They tell the story about Pesach time. So someone wanted to know with like toothpaste or something. He's like, his problem of like chametz or whatever. And so the story goes, and Soloveitchik said, toothpaste is not a problem because nobody eats toothpaste. Even, you know, dogs don't eat toothpaste. Not Roy, Lechilas Kelev. And if no dog can eat toothpaste, so then it's not considered a problem of chametz. And some guy goes, well, my dog eats toothpaste. No, you've got a mashuk and a dog. You know, but what's that have to do with anything? There's a mashuk and a dog. Well, there's mashuk and a people too. So this guy's a mashugana. He goes ahead and he takes the pillows and blankets and he puts them on his floor like they're garbage. Well, I don't know how rich this guy is, but nobody in their right mind ever does that. Pillows and blankets you use. You're not going to leave them there. So Batla Daitil Kal Adam, even though he really is going to leave the pillows and blankets there, he considers them nothing, at least for Sukkos. Doesn't matter because no normal person does that. When it rains, you go and you take those in. So what does it mean really to nullify it? It means being mamish, to make it into dirt. This guy really is just going to leave the pillows and blankets there for the rest of eternity? That's what we mean? So Rashi says, no. Rashi, v'afagav debatlinu, lekol shiva. Lekol shiva. So that's important. The bittul that we're talking about in this case is not that he really views this stuff like it's ground, it's dirt, that he's going to leave it there forever. It means he's willing to leave it there for Sukkos. If he's willing to say, this is going to be my floor for Sukkos, then we can hear it. But no normal person does that, even for Sukkos, and therefore, batla daito etzu kol adam. Okay, so that's the first part of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, okay, there are different types of materials that we need to discuss over here. Teven ubitloi. What's teven? Straw, hay. Havi miut. If he was mevatel the teven, Rashi says, verbally for Sukkos. So Bittel's not in his mind, according to Rashi. He's yet to verbally say, okay, we're going to leave this stuff here for the rest of Sukkos. Have a mute. That is considered floor. When I was in Akiva. You went to Akiva? So Rabbi Weil, who, you know, he's a big rabbi in OU nowadays. He used to be the rabbi in Beverly Hills. Anyways, he was teaching. He was the rabbi in the Young Israel of... at the time. So he was teaching at Akiva. So he took us on our senior trip to New York. You know, and he likes a good cigar and he likes a good drink. So he took us to some ambition to have us recorded. He took us to some bar like in New York. We weren't allowed to get drinks, but it was a cool place to be. So the whole floor was hay. It was straw. I remember that. That was like a shtick in that bar. The whole place covered in straw. Okay. So that's a mute. It raises the floor. But kol shekein, and straw, which theoretically you'd remove and feed to your animals, your goats or whatever, not necessarily going to leave it there, but if you're mevatel it verbally, that works. Kol shekein, afar obitloi. Of course, if you took dirt and you're going to leave it there for 7 days, then for sure that raises the floor. I mean, that's a dirt floor. Teven ve'ein asid levana, I say. What about straw or hay that you didn't verbally nullify it, but you don't plan on removing it for Sukkos? You put it there without making any specific declarations. Nobody knows what you're thinking. It's there on the floor. The afar. Oh, so we have to clarify that. What's in us in the fanoisa? He's not in the future going to remove it. How do you know that? Rashi. There's no need for it. There's no use for it. Umiyu labitul mamash befid. But he didn't actually say that. Okay, so it's straw. It's a type of thing that people do use to feed their animals. But he, for however we know it, has no particular use for it. But he didn't technically nullify it. But upper stam and dirt, stam. Rashi, I offer nasan, the four lines down, nasan like stam. He put it there without anything, no declaration. Vein yadua, and it's clearly not obvious, not known. He must have the fanoisim lav if he's going to need it or not. You can imagine, you know, a guy that has dirt, but this type of dirt is soil. He's it for his garden. So if he has a garden and he has use for it over Sukkos, so it could be that he's planning to remove it. He's not going to leave it there for 7 days. Okay, so what are we talking about? So first we said, one category is called karm tsaso, pillows, blankets, things that nobody in their right mind ever leaves there for all of Sukkos. That does not raise the floor. If you have teven, which theoretically would be removed, it makes sense that the type of thing that you would remove, but you verbally declare you're going to leave it there for Sukkos, then that's considered floor. Dirt?
That Rashi is saying behind verbally telling everyone or making a point that it is now nullified.
That's apparently significant, that your mind should be expressed.
When I go do something, if I want to make something special and magical to tell everyone, like what I tell people.
Okay, you're asking good. There are different ways to look at it. One possibility is that it just makes it clear to everyone around.
Why
does that matter? The other possibility is that it actually affects your mind. When a person actually says something to somebody, it actually expresses that he really means it. Really meaning it might mean now you know what he meant, or really mean it means now he really means it because he said it. A person might have all sorts of cheshbon. Is that happened to you? You know, you're davening, or you're in some sort of situation, and you hear news about somebody. You say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to give money. I'm going to give like $100. But by the time you're done with Shemoneh Esrei, you're like, I think 18 is enough. You know? Like, but had you said it, I'm going to give 100. So you're not going to back away from that. And you didn't say it. I was thinking, you know? So it actually changes your mind frame when you say it. So you always got to tell your wife, I love you. You got to say it. Anyway, but so either it's because it's necessary to know what he's thinking for some reason, or because it actually does make a stronger das.
I don't think Rashi's saying it. He's telling you that, oh, you should have to, like, don't go back on your word. Rashi's saying, like, you have to say it. Like, there's no...
I'm just giving an example. It's like a symptom.
I mean, it's still a little...
It could be. That means it makes his das much stronger.
It's a little weird why he would say that.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying.
So there are three categories. There's something that no one in their right mind would ever leave there. There are things that people do remove, but he declared he's going to leave it there. And then there's dirt, which also, I mean, sometimes it could be soil or something you use for your garden. It's less likely to be removed than things like teva. So you see the gradations? Things that nobody in their right mind ever leaves. Things that you could imagine a person would leave, but it's likely he's going to use it for his animals or something else. And then there's things that people generally do leave, but, you know, you never know for sure. So that's called karm exasos in our case, pillows and blankets, teven, and afar. So Gemara says, for sure, if you have straw and he declared he's going to leave it there, that works. And dirt, even if he didn't say anything specific. So as long as we have a sense that he has no use for it, so then that's also going to be good. But here's the question. Afar, teven ein asid lafanos, right? Straw and he didn't make a declaration. For afar, stam. And dirt, and we have no idea if he's going to need it or not. That's a machlekes Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbanan. So straw, which he might take out, but we know however we know it. He doesn't really have a particular use for it. He didn't make a verbal declaration, that's all. Or dirt, and, you know, it's not normally removed, but, you know, you never know. So what about that? It says, Gemara, that's machlokes beis rabbanon. How do you know it's machlokes beis rabbanon? Well, we're going to move to a slightly different area for a minute to discover their machlokes. The concept over here is a pretty clear one. I was joking with some of the guys on Seder about it. Your schach is too high. So you need to raise the floor. It's the easiest way to do it. Raise the floor. No problem. I'll instruct everyone in my family to wear elevator shoes. Or we'll all sit on really high chairs. So everyone agrees that doesn't work because that's not considered floor. So when does something become floor? When does it not become floor? That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. So everyone agrees, if something that's going to stay there for a sukkis, and really is going to stay there for all of sukkis, that's considered a floor. But it's a little bit delicate. How do you know when it's really batel, when it's really considered a floor or not? So we're going to move to a slightly different area for a minute. Imagine you have a warehouse, and your warehouse is for straw. Your warehouse is for dirt. Well, your warehouse is there because you're going to sell it. I remember there was a place called Matterhorn near my house, and that's what that was that they did. We went there because they had animals in the back and you could pet them for free. But they had what they did as a business was that they sold dirt. It was a garden store, you know. So what would you say? You have a warehouse full of dirt. Would you view it that you have a warehouse and the floor is on the bottom and it's filled with dirt? Or do you view it as, wow, that's a very high floor in that warehouse? So you can hear how it could be a high floor because what do you mean? The floor is made out of dirt. It's just more dirt. Well, who cares? Well, my nafkamina. This is like a weird rabbi question. What does that have to... No, there's a huge nafkamina. Okay, I don't know if it's huge. There's an interesting nafkamina for those of you that are going to be in the police departments and you're going to be involved in forensics research. Death. Dead bodies. We need to know about Tumas Oyel. Tumas Oyel? All right, ready for buckle your seatbelts. This now is real innovation. Ba'ayis shemilu teven at service. The guy has a house, a warehouse, whatever, a shed, who knows, whatever it is. And he filled it up with straw or tsroi rice, or little rocks. Ubitlu mevutal, and he was mevatal them. So then they become nullified. Bitlu in lay bitlu lay. So it depends on if he was mevatel them or not, obviously. If he wasn't mevatel them, so then there's nothing to talk about. They're not. But though, so apparently you have to verbally nullify it. What's this talking about? Okay, you got to take a look at this. So see Rashi. Rashi is bayis milu tevan atzoreis hu bitlu. L'inyan oyhalois tnan. This is not talking about sukkah and raising floor of a sukkah. It's talking about oyhalois. Anybody know what that is? Oyhalois? Oyhalois is one of those mesechtas and taras that's talking about tumah and tahara, that whenever you have a dead body, certainly a Jewish dead body, is machlokes tanoim, if it applies by non-Jews or not, but certainly by a Jewish dead body, it is tumas oyhal. Tumas oyhal means the tumah goes up from the body and will continue all the way to Shemayim, even an airplane, a spaceship, whatever would be affected by this. But, okay, I don't know about spaceships, but certainly airplanes. What happens if you put a roof on top of the dead body? That stops the tumah from going up and makes the tumah spread underneath wherever there's a roof. So this is a big problem for kohanim and hospitals, you know, anything like that. Anytime that there's a, every once in a while, there'll be like a levaya in the yeshiva. So there'll be like a big rav, rachman slan, yachasron, a big rav will pass away. So they make the levaya in the yeshiva. So the body would be in the yeshiva. So they put signs on the doors, kohanim, you can't go in. And it's a little more complicated than that also in other cases. Tumah, you know, whatever. But in any case, that's what we're talking about. In oyhalos tanan. This is a halacha of oyhalos, the tumas oyhal. Tumah that spreads under an oyhal. The tumah sheyesh la oyhal, chalal tefach. Tumah that has a roof, that has a hollow. Chalal means a hollow. That has a hollow of a tefach. Eina boikas lemala min agag. It doesn't go up above the roof. Okay, what does it mean in chalal tefach? Let's discuss this. It's shasturi. This you got to know for tumas oyhal. What's considered an oyhel, a tent? What's considered a roof? When will this roof prevent the tumah from going up? Will it spread it under the roof? And when will it be considered nothing? Imagine you have a dead body in a coffin. Is that a roof? Is every coffin prevent the tumah from the body going up? So the answer is it depends. If there's a tefach of space between the body and the roof, then it's a roof. And there's tumas oyhel, and the tumah will not go up. If there's less than a tefach, it's not considered a roof, and then the tumah goes up. That's the rule.
It has to be clear space, or
can... Oh, so we're going to discuss that right now.
It could be dirt.
Exactly. That's our nafkumi. Yeah. That's what we want to know. Aval tumah ritzutza she'en l'chal al tefach, if it's a tumah that doesn't have any space, himena l'gag, between it and the roof, she'kenegda, ad rakia tamei, tebekas v'oilah, up until the sky, it's tamei, because it goes up and up. V'chein halach l'moshe misinai. That's Allah l'moshim sinai. V'hilkach. Therefore, bayis shi'esh boi meis a kazayis mina meis. You have a house, a shed, a warehouse, and there's either a dead body or even a kazayis of the dead body. Omilu teven oitzreres, and it is filled with straw. It's filled with rocks. Ubitloi, and those that hay, that straw, those rocks are batel, are nullified. Have you ritzutza? Uboikas. Then it would be no roof. There's no roof. And the tumah goes up. Avaloi bitloi. But if they weren't mevatel, that straw or those rocks, havikamandapanya. It's as if the person already took them out. V'yesh l'chalal, and it's considered to be hollow. So let's just talk about this outside, so we'll be all on the same page. So let's try to be creative. You killed your mother-in-law. You buried her body in your warehouse. Well, then you filled the warehouse from top to bottom with dirt, with straw, with whatever. That way the dogs can't smell it. Don't tell my mom. So what's the story with the Kohen that lives on top of the warehouse or walks on top of the warehouse or the airplane that flies on top of the warehouse? What's the story with the tumah on top of the warehouse? Well, it depends on the following. If you're mevatalit, then it's considered to be floor, which means there simply is no ceiling to that room. That room is just filled from, it's not a warehouse anymore. It's just the floor goes all the way to the ceiling. That's it. But if a person was not mevatalit, it means he intends on removing it. Well, then that's not considered floor. And even though the entire room is filled, but that's not significant in terms of tumas oyhel. That's like a bunch of people standing in a room and filling the room. It's still going to be tumas oyhel. because it's considered a roof to a floor. And even though it may be filled with something, that's not significant. Yeah, you got the case? Killing mother-in-law, burying her, filling her room with straw and rocks? Smile a little bit! This Menachem's smiling. Somebody else. Okay, here we go. So that's the case. So again in the Gemara. Machlik, so four lines from the top. Machlik is Yosef Rabbanu. There's none by Shemilu Teven, Oitzroyres, Ubitloi, Mevutol. If you were Mevatal it, so then it's Batal. That Rashi just tells us the case. But the point is that you see from the Lashon HaMishnah that the only way that it becomes floor is if you're Mevatal it. Bitloi in, Lebitloi loi. So if you Mevatal it, it becomes floor. If you're not Mevatal it, it does not become floor. Pasha. Mitani Allah. And we learn on that Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Rabbi Yosi says, Tevin Veinasi Lefanoi Soi, Tevin, and you have no reason to remove it anytime soon. Harei Huki Afar Stam. That's the same as dirt that we have no idea what your plans are with it. Ubatel, and that's Batel. Afar V'asid Lefanoi Soi, dirt, and then you're going to remove it. We know you're planning to use it or sell it. Harei Huki Stam Tevin. That's like Tevin that you didn't express your das, that you're going to remove it, a little batel, and it's not batel. So we need to make a chart, really, but at least we'll go over it tomorrow in session. But just to get everything down, that's what the Gemara says. Yosi says, I'm going to have a comparison. The way I'm going to teach you the halacha is by comparing. Tevin, straw, and you're not planning to remove it, but you didn't say it, batel. That's like afar stam. So both Tevin, and you're not going to remove it, and Afar Stam is Batel. That's what we wanted to know. So that's what Yosef's opinion. Haisa Gavaya, but the Rabbanan disagree. So that's the bottom line. So that's the end of the Gemara. So the bottom line is that if you want to know if the dirt is going to raise your floor, it's going to depend on the following. If it's something that nobody would ever leave there for all of Zukis, it does not raise the floor. If it's a type of thing that's afar stam or tevin and you have no reason to remove it, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. And if it's a type of thing like tevin and you declared it batel or afar and sorry if I go step tevin a bitloy have a miyut we call it afar a bitloy tevin and afar that a person declared I'm leaving this year that does work. Okay. Then, but the dietal to go to you're the Meshuggah and a dog that eats the toothpaste.
Then it wouldn't be.
It does not work.
It
does not work. Because apparently, this would be something also to discuss in the alumnus of it. Why is it that when it comes to bittel, it goes by what most people think? Right. So that would be another thing to examine. Okay, but in any case, now the Gemara shifts. We're conceptually working in the same area. What the Gemara is dealing with in general now is the hollow of the sukkah. We're not dealing with the schach being too high on the outside. We're dealing with the hollow now, the inside of the sukkah. Haisa gavoya me'esrim amo. The schach is higher than 20 amos. V'hutzin yordin. Hutzin means, give me a nice English word, the branches that are hanging down. You're not using bamboo. You're not using a cool mat. You're using traditional evergreen schach. That way, it can fall in your soup. So,
it's the greatest smelling, by the way.
Yeah,
like
that.
Smells amazing.
So they hang down, you know. You used to use like a couple of whatever you used to make some kind of support for it, and then they hang down. So the sach in and of itself is placed too high, but there are a lot of little branches that are hanging down. Your din going down besoch chav amah within the 20 amah hollow of the sukkah. So what do you think? Totally possible because the sach is too high, or is there wiggle room here? So think about it. There is some schach that's lower than 20. The placement of it is too high. The part that's like attached or hanging or you know, supported. But there is lamais. At the end of the day, there is schach that's low enough to be good. Isn't there? Whereas it depends. If their shade is more than their sun. I know Menachem's going to say, what do you mean their shade is more than their sun? Their shade meaning on the top or their shade on the bottom? We're not going to go there now. But if the shade generated by the Hutzin Yordin is more shade than sun, then you're right. You have more schach in a good spot. Then it's ksheira. Your sukkah is good. Vim lav, but if there's not enough shade coming from the schach that's low enough, psula, it's no good. Yeah, you guys get that? You lowered the schach basically because it's hanging there. No problem. The exact opposite case, seemingly, would be haisa gavaya sare tfachim, that the schach is 10 tfachim high, which is good or not good? Just good, just barely. Any lower, and it would be pasul. That's the lowest it can be. And you have those stragglers are hanging down within the 10 tfachim of the hollow. So what do you say? He reasoned, it's exactly the same idea. If they're generating more sun than shade, then who cares? Share, then it's good. But if there's more shade than sun, then that's considered to be the level of the schach, and it's too low. Yeah, you hear what he's saying?
What's going on to that?
What?
I feel like I can't go to your detriment. You know, if it's too low, then you could say, oh, if there's enough shade, then it can help me. But for it to detriment you, for it to go against you, because they're just hanging down, so I have to go and cut them so that they're not. That's not what the schach really is.
Well, it depends, right? If it's just a few of them, who cares? But if it's enough of them to be a layer of schach, then you have a later sach. That's too low. That's your sach. Amar le Rava. Rava said, I don't agree with you, but for a different reason. Hadira srucha hi. Srucha usually means like spoiled. It's saruach, you know? Hadira srucha, how do you translate that? It's like a dira that nobody would ever live in. It's annoying. It's a dira that's messed up. I guess so. So, ve'ein adam dar b'dira srucha. Nobody lives in a place like that. Where you got to like dodge all those little branches all the time. No one lives like that. So it's interesting. In the lumness of this, it's not like schach puzzle, right? In other words, when you start to think about this, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but when you start to think about this, you can have schach that's no good because of the schach. If you put metal something as your schach, it's no good. It's not good. It's not kosher schach. You take something wood, but it's a kli. So it's a wood. You pick a chair. You put a chair on your sukkah for schach. So that's a kli. It's makabel tuma. That's no good. But if it's too high or too low, it's not really a psul in the schach necessarily, right? It's the position of the schach. Maybe that's a little different. It's not the material. It's the position. Now we're saying, what if the schach is too low? So if it's too low, it's puzzle. Why? Well, in this case, it's because it's a dira srucha. So, that's puzzle schach? Or it's a problem in the way that I'm functioning? It's a problem in the living of the sukkah? The way you live in it? So it's interesting to think about that. Is this not really a psul in the schach? It's a psul like the way that you're in your sukkah, or it's a psul in the schach because you can't live in it properly. What exactly is the psul here? So it's something to ponder. Right, takes you back to that thought process, right? Takes exactly back to that. Is it the way you're eating in it, or is it the actual structures? Okay.
Even by a buyer, even what a buyer said beforehand, that's off the schach itself. It's not the positioning. Meaning, if I were to move it up some, then it would be fine.
Right.
So it's also on.
So some people want to know: can you really just lower or raise your schach and you're done? Because there's a psul of what? Did we speak about tasa of lomino asui at all? There's a concept called tasa of lomino asui. That means to say that there's certain things that you have to do. They can't just come about on their own. What are you talking about? I'll give you a fun example. Tzitzis are really four strings folded in half, so we have eight strings, right? I'm very creative. I'm a magician over here, you know? I'm going to take one string, and I'm going to fold it until I have four. You can picture that, right? One string, but fold it a few times. I stick it into the hole of my baguette, my tie, my knots. I can even wrap some of my wrappings. But I have one string. And when I'm finished with my knots, I cut it off at the end. Now I have tzitzis. When I put the tzitzis in, I only have one string. When I'm finished, I've got eight. Those tzitzis are puzzle. Because it's called ta'aseh, v'lo min ha'asui. You have to tie it as tzitzis, not have tzitzis when you're done. It didn't become tzitzis until you're finished and you cut them off. And now all of a sudden, oh, magically, I have tzitzis. So sukkah is the same thing. It says, chag sukkah is ta'aseh lecha. You can't have schach when you're finished. You have a haystack. It's big enough to be a sukkah once you dig it out. So you dig it out, and I'm in a sukkah. But you never put any schach on. You hollowed out the haystack. Ta'aseh v'lemin asui. You have to put your schach on your sukkah. You can't have schach by the time you're done. Imagine you built all the poles and all the walls. Now you got a sukkah, but now you need to put the schach on. Well, that's what everybody does. You build the sukkah walls, and you put the schach on. What do you put the schach on? A bunch of poles. It's not a kosher sukkah. And then you build the walls. Then maybe tasev, lo min asur. That may be exactly the same problem. So, if I raise the floor of my sukkah, isn't it tasev, lo min asur? So you guys got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. But the Gemara says that's fine. How could it be fine? So maybe tasev and also has to be a psul in the schach, not in the position. Anyway, we could toy with it. But just that's something to think about.
The sukkah itself, though, if your walls are too high, right? If the schach is too low, masking, you have to take off the schach and put it back on because it's tasev and also you can't just raise it because it's possible the ground.
Dig out the ground.
Also, if you dig out the ground, no, because then. It depends how far. You know, I was thinking if the schach is too high, right? You fill the floor and then go on top.
Mm-hmm.
The sukkah itself was kosher up until a certain point. You just happen to be lower than that. But if I were to fill it in,
that's another way of saying this. So the position of the schach is a problem. It's not schach puzzle.
Right.
Okay. Fine. So in any case, so Abaye figured so the above 20 and the schach is hanging down, all goes by whether that's a legitimate layer of schach. Should be the same thing in a sukkah where the schach is just right, but now it's a little bit too low. Well, it depends, you know. So the rabbi said, absolutely not. Nobody lives in a dira like that. That's called a dira srucha. Fine. Ha'isi gavoya me'esrim amu. The schach is, again, higher than 20. So everyone has a gemara, right? You have the picture that's right there? So the picture here is to show you that the platform, an itztabo is like a platform, the stage, you know, of the platform that the person built is touching three walls. You see that? Ubanaba itztaba kenegadoi vana emtsoi. He built an itztaba, a platform, that's opposite the middle wall. It only has three walls, this sukkah. So it's opposite the middle wall, which means it has walls on three sides. Al pene kula. On the whole thing, so that it's touching three walls. V'yeshva hechsher sukkah. And everything else about that sukkah has the proper dimensions. The platform is at least 7 tvachim long. Ksheira. That's kasher. No, that's good. He raised his floor. At least in the area that the floor is higher. What about the area that the floor is lower? The Rashi says that's also kasher for reasons that we didn't get to yet. Okay. But the sukkah is kasher in that case because you created a kosher sukkah with an extension. Umin etzad. See the second picture underneath it? That itztaba doesn't have three walls. It only has two walls. Im yesh misvasa itztaba lekoisel dalet ames. So, in the picture that they have in the mirror, here is the itztaba. So we want to know about this distance here. Because as of now, looking at the picture, it looks like it's no good. Because even if you're on top of the platform, is not a kosher sukkah because it doesn't have three walls. Here's the thing. If the distance between the platform and the far wall is 4 amis, then it's pasul. There's nothing to talk about. It doesn't have a third wall. If it's less than 4 amis, it's kasher. Why? What kind of magic is that? It's less than 4 amis away? If the wall is less than 4 amis away, it's kasher? Maika mashmalan, what are you coming to teach us? Damrinan, doifen, akuma. That we say there is a doifen is a wall. Akum means bent. You're telling me that there's such a thing as a bent wall? Everybody knows there's such a thing as a bent wall. Tanina, we learned this already. Bayis shenifchas, a house whose roof collapsed. V'sichech al gabov, so he put schach to fill in the roof.
So here, first idea. This is just a whole lap. First idea of the roof collapsed over here. So he's gonna fill it in with Scott on top of the hole.
If there is from the wall to the schach, meaning the hole in the ceiling, if there is dal ramis, psula, then the sukkah is no good. What are the walls of the sukkah, by the way? His house walls. It's his house. It's just the ceiling collapse, so he fills it in with schach. Hapachos mikan kshera, but less than dal ramis between the hole, meaning his schach and the wall, is kasher. So what's going on over here? So this is a concept called Dokan Akuma.
Dokan Akuma means basically like this. Here's your sukkah. He built this platform over here. This, all that matters here is if it's Dalai Lama or not. If it's less than Dalai Lama, this is the way we view this side. It's a wall. It's a bent wall.
It's a bent wall, that's all.
You think that this is, you know, the floor and whatever. This schach that's here is technically no good because it's not on top of the platform, right? But no problem. That's considered wall. We'll view it as a wall, and it bends. And so we imagine as if that's good. So that's called Dovan Akum. It's a bent wall. I actually had a case, actually, where there was a guy that built his house was over here, and this was his gutter. So he built his sukkah, like, over here. So if the sukkah extends to the house, schach doesn't start until here.
Well, what's the story under that? So that's a dofen akuma. That's just a bend. That actually is a dofen akuma. That's a bend wall. So you can have an interesting napkin.
But for now, just to keep it simple, so the Gemara says, so if your sukkah only has two walls, you could theoretically have a third wall if it's less than Dalet Amis away. Less than Dalet Amis away. So you'll be good. It's still going to be good. If this is confusing, we'll go over it on Monday, Mir Sashem. So don't get nervous.
You have Dofen Akuma, right? Is that an extension of the other wall? So you need another two walls?
No, the Dofen Akuma makes it the third wall.
It makes it the third wall.
That's the third wall. The Dofen Akuma means the wall gets closer. It's a bent wall. You can move it closer. We pretend it's a wall closer.
It's a closer wall.
Yeah, yeah. As if we virtually move it closer. So the Gemara said, okay, so that's the Gemara's answer, is that we have a halacha we're teaching here. The halacha we're teaching is that if your platform is more than Dalet Amos away from the third wall, it's no good. But as long as that third wall is within Dalet Amos, then you're good to go. We have a kasher sukkah on top of your platform at least. The Gemara says, I know that. Everybody knows that. Because we learned that already in a brisa elsewhere. You don't need to say something twice. That's what it means, tanina, bayis shenifchas. We learned it already in the case of the house that the ceiling collapsed. And that's halacha over there. It just simply depends on how far away the schach, or the hole, is from the walls of the house. Dalet Amos, no good. Less than Dalet Amos, fine. Do you know what? Okay, so the Gemara says, why do I need that? Why do you need to repeat the halacha? Mahu de seima, which you translate as, I would have thought, what is there to say, literally? Mahu de seima, what is there to say? I would have thought, hasam hu de chazya le doifen, avahacha de le chazya le doifen, eim aloi. In the case of the house, so translated, over there by the house and the hole in the roof, where it's fitting to be a wall, where the ceiling is fitting to be a wall. You could use your shingles as a wall. I mean, it's a hard substance. You could make it into a wall. So it's fine. You can say it's a bent wall. Aval hacha, here in our case, the lechazia ledoifen, where it's not fitting to be a wall, emaloi, I might have thought not. Kamash malon, yes.
Meaning? In the case of, we'll use this. In the case of the sukkah, we're claiming that this schach here is really a bent wall. I mean, dude, it's schach. If you're talking about a house,
Yeah, this stuff could all be a wall. I mean, it's a roof. It's hard stuff. It's a wall. It's a bent wall. But to say that you can view your schach as a bent wall, I mean, come on. It's not chazi to do it. You can use it as a wall.
It's not the right material. It's not good. I would have thought that you can't say dofen akuma in that way. Kamashmal, you can say dofen akuma even by the schach itself.
You hear what I'm saying? If this schach is here, right, covering a hole, you put your mat here. So we're saying, what's the distance between the actual wall and your schach? So what's the dofen akuma element of it? The roof, whatever's left of the roof. Whatever's left of the roof we're viewing is a bent wall. Well, okay, it's hard stuff since it could have been a wall. So then you can say it. But by a sukkah, to say that you can say that by the schach, who says? Maybe not. Maybe not.
So Gemara says, yes, you see from here, that's why we're repeating the halacha, is that because that is kasher. You can say dofen akuma there as well.
Well, for schach itself also?
Yeah, that's the kamash mulan. You can say it. That's why we're repeating it. You can say dofen akuma even with schach. So then the Gemara says, haisa gavoya mechav ama. Let's say the schach again is higher than 20. Ubana itztaba be'emtza isa. You built a platform, but this time, there's no picture of it in the Gemara, but you can picture it on your own. The platform is smack in the middle of the sukkah. It's not against any of the walls. So what is good does that do you? Im yesh misfasa itztaba vela doifen. If there is from the edge of the platform and the wall, arba ames, l'chol ruach veruach, 4 ames in every direction, psula. It's puzzle. That's no good as a sukkah. But here is the chiddush. If there's less than arba amis, at least on 3 sides of this platform, ksheira, it's kasher. Why? My kamashmalan, what are you trying to teach me? Darmin and doifen akuma. Again, it's the same thing. You're saying how close is it to the walls? Hainuach. That's exactly hainuach. That's it. That's what we just said. Mahu the same. What is there to say? I would have thought doifen akuma mirach achas amrinon. You can say dofen akuma in one direction. Aval kol ruach veruach loy, but not in every direction. Komash malan, you can say it in every direction.
So just a quick draw on the board. From a bird's eye view, guy built a platform in the middle of the sukkah. It has no walls. Well, that depends on how you look at it. If there's a dalet amos between that itztabo and the walls, you're right. If it's less than dalet amos, so then we're going to say dofen akuma in every single direction. That's a fascinating sukkah. Try not to fall off. You have to build a block on top of that platform.
Okay, anyway, but that's what the Gemara is saying. We're saying dofen akuma in every single direction. Okay, we will we'll stop there. They're going to eat over there. Everything's going to be on top of that platform. That's the sukkah.
That's really weird. So you see definitely the sukkah essentially like curves in through the walls.
Yeah, the walls are curving in.
Yeah.